This is Joanna Schrader reporting live for DomesticFuel.com, and I am here with John Erickson, who's an associate professor in the agronomy department at University of Florida. John, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm well. Well, I just finished listening to your presentation, and you actually are an expert in perennial grasses, which is something that's actually gaining a lot of attention these past few months. So, John, can you talk to us first about what some of the most promising perennial grasses are?
Sure, I can talk about, at least for the southeastern region, we've been doing trials now for the past couple of years looking at a wide variety of perennial grasses, mostly C4 grasses, which include sugar canes, energy canes, which are low sugar, sugar canes, miscanthus, elephant grass or Napier grass, sorghum, and
switchgrass.
Switchgrass, a little bit with switchgrass, yeah.
And
giant reed.
So far in your test, what has sort of been the leader in terms of, you talked a little bit during your presentation on what we're getting in terms of, I think of corn and I think of per acre,
yeah.
But what's the most promising in terms of output?
I think in terms of output, if we think of the short term and look at sugar, I think sugar cane still is more promising, at least for southern parts of Florida where it grows well. Sweet sorghum, which we've been looking at as well, has some potential as we get higher latitudes and a little bit colder. From what the numbers we've gotten from some of our studies, put sweet sorghum on par with corn in terms of gallons of ethanol per acre, and the numbers from sugarcane are at least when you consider a whole season of growth, I would say about twice as much, or 1.5 to twice as much. So in the short term, we see that as having some potential. In the longer term, the cellulosic feedstocks, and that's where we're looking at the energy canes and the elephant grasses have yielded the best that we've seen, upwards of 40-some dry megagrams per hectare. So those are sugar canes that have been selected for high fiber. They don't have the high juice or sucrose contents that the sugar canes do, but they yield more biomass. And similarly, the elephant grass or Napier grass is one that we've seen yield comparable to energy canes. So I think moving forward into cellulosic, at least from a perennial grass standpoint, is those two are strong candidates for the southeast. And again, the perennial grasses offer a number of advantages as opposed to annual crops like corn and or sorghum, in that you're not planting something every year, so you don't have renewable annual planting costs, and they tend to be a little more efficient with water and nutrient use than some of those systems too. So.
Now, on something like a perennial grass, is that something that could be added as a second crop, or is a perennial grass something that you literally grow the perennial grass and that becomes your crop?
That would, at least, for that particular unit of land area, would be your crop. Sugarcane in Florida, the way that's produced now, they usually do it over four to five year cycles. And so once you plant that, you've tied that up for 4 to 5 years. So it's exactly that benefit, some of those benefits that create a problem when you think of shorter term crop production. So you have to commit to a longer term commitment when you're thinking perennial grasses. Some of that is going to depend on how they incentivize or if they incentivize carbon credits and whether or not agriculture has a potential to be involved in that. And so if that becomes a reality, I think the perennial grasses will be viewed more favorably than something like sorghum. If they don't, then something like sorghum may do just as well or better than some of these others.
Now
because they can be worked under rotations with current existing crops.
Oh, okay.
So in Florida, a lot of our crop production now occurs in the winter. One, it's warm enough here to grow it, and it's actually better, other than the shortages of water, it's better to grow it because climate is more favorable than pest issues primarily than in the summer. And two, we have a economic competitive advantage because we can produce things now and sell them at a premium because other regions of the country can't. And so a lot of that occurs in the winter here, and then those folks are looking for things to produce in the summer, and that's where something like sweet sorghum could fit into their rotation.
Now, you did talk a lot, one of the disadvantages of sugarcane was that it's not cold tolerant, whereas some of the advantages of some of these perennial grasses you mentioned is that they're more cold tolerant. So can you talk a little bit about some of the work to actually merge these two together?
Sugarcane. It's also a perennial grass, but most of the sugar canes that are used for sucrose production are not very cold tolerant, particularly for sugar production. So they actually will produce decent amounts of biomass, but the sugar yields will be pretty low. But what they were looking at, and again, the energy canes actually are more cold tolerant. They've been bred with other Saccharum species that have better cold tolerance. And they're looking at expanding that even further by breeding efforts with things like Miscanthus, which has great cold tolerance, grows well all the way up to Illinois and some other regions, as I mentioned. And so by doing that, then, you know, things like energy cane could become part of the portfolio as you move further and further north. Right now, you know, Georgia, maybe some parts of southern Tennessee, some of these materials will grow there. But really we're looking at Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, that region, for sugar canes and energy canes right now.
Now, energy cane, it's my understanding that energy cane has lower sucrose than traditional sugar cane, and it's higher in fiber. Can you talk about why that's advantageous for cellulosic production?
For cellulosic production, you want... There's a couple of reasons. One, like I mentioned, it tends to yield higher in total biomass. So if the process for conversion of cellulosic ethanol achieves higher efficiencies, you're going to get more total sugars and more total ethanol per unit land area. And the second reason is it's hard. It seems to be hard to blend the two processes of converting sugar to ethanol, and then also because of the pretreatment steps needed to convert the fiber to ethanol. So some of the problems are you create inhibitors and things when you have a lot of sugar in there to start with, and so you can actually decrease your recovery efficiencies down the road for cellulosic material. So they typically like to have low soluble sugars to start with in those.
Well, great. Now, I know you're continuing to do your trials and your research, so where can people go to get more information?
Right now, like I mentioned, we're in our first year of growth trial data of a study throughout the whole state. We've had random studies throughout, and so we had kind of mixed numbers coming out, but we decided to try and collaborate our efforts at the university, and we've set up, like I mentioned, studies across North, Central, and South Florida. That's in the first year of study. I think right now that data is just being presented here. It hasn't reached publication stage yet, so I think you'll have to wait at least probably another year to get some of this, and I think some of it I'll put on my webpage, but it'll probably be at least another year before. We want to get a second year of growth tends to be when some of these really do well, so we don't want to put numbers out showing, especially like some of the Arundo and Miscanthus, they say we'll do much better in the second year, so we want to get at least 2 years of growth data to show, you know, what its potential is for some of these. The good thing from that study is we did see pretty consistent yields from north to south Florida, so that was reassuring for a number of people. Production practices were similar, so we'd hope to see fairly consistent yields, and we did, so that was good.
Well, I think, John, we'll be following you, and we'll be sure to check in with you about this time in a year and see how things came out.
Sure, sounds good.
Great. Thank you.